It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Yes, we are living that dream and taking you with us. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3, The Game and 101.3thegame.com. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join us today, or you can join us on the TikTok Jewelers. Well, that's not right either. What's wrong with me? On the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. The TikTok Jewelers guest line is who we, when people call us on the phone, that's what they join us on. But, you know, it's early this morning. It's been a long week. My good friend Austin Danforth, good to see you, my man.
Good to see you,
looking
too.
Looking spry this morning.
Is it early for you because it was late last night?
It's just every day's early for me. I don't, for whatever reason, I wake up, my internal clock wakes me up every day at 5:30 in the morning.
That's gross.
It stinks. It's not good. And you know, you go to bed, I don't want to say I go to bed late, but even if you go to bed early, 5:30 in the morning is, you know, but I think it's because, you know, the sun's up and it's bright in the room. I just wake up and I can't fall back asleep.
The thing that gets me isn't the light, because I'll turn my head over and like burrow into the pillows. Yep. It's not the light. It's when, like, if the humidity changes in the middle of the night or early in the morning and it goes from like survivable to what's going on here, that's when I'm like, that's what kills me and jolts me awake.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I, for whatever reason, last few weeks, 5:30 in the morning is my number. It's like, bang, I'm up at 5:30. So, you know, but it gets good because I can like kind of post up in bed a little bit. I can read a little bit. I just kind of can lay there. It's not bad, but yeah, early morning this morning. And Aaron Wells, let us just say, welcome back to the show. Last week you were out because of obviously the 21st birthday.
Oh, we need the full report.
That's a big deal. I mean, if it's legal, if you know, if everything you did was clean, you know, fine. Yeah, hear about
change the name
report.
To protect the innocent.
Exactly.
So, so the day of, on Friday before that show, that was my birthday, but I didn't really have the opportunity to go out. There wasn't
so when
around.
You say it was your birthday, you mean like at midnight on Friday or midnight on Thursday? Friday was the day. Okay,
yep.
Gotcha.
And that was also my sister's graduation, so that also made it a little harder to lean into one. But then the next day I had a party, and that was a lot of fun. I puked in some bushes.
Oh, that sounds like a 21st birthday. There you go.
It was pretty good.
That sounds like a memorable 21st birthday. That's good.
I only remember so much.
Well, that's how it works usually. Just be smart now, man. You know, you don't want to go crazy and throwing up in bushes every weekend now. It's only one time. When you get to be 21, we say, all right, it's okay. But after that, you got to stop throwing up in people's bushes.
You got to ration yourself to like once every couple of years.
Yeah. So you have a story to tell once in a while. You have an event. You know what I mean? We all had those things. So, hey, guys, another banner week of sports, right? Another big week for sports. A lot of things to look forward to. I mean, here we go again.
We had some golf,
which was actually a lot of fun. I actually watched it last week. I watched Sunday. But I got to tell you guys, like, you know, we talked about it last week. Like, here we go again. I mean, we have, it's there's just nowhere to go to get any good news on the world of sports right now. I mean, there just isn't. There's nowhere to go. And go ahead, your point, Emmy.
Premier League's back,
I get it. And I understand that there are aspects of sports, so if you're into the Premier League and soccer,
I'm right in the middle of those two circles.
You're in good
diagram.
Shape, but I think for most people that are looking at, and not to say most people, I know that there are a lot of people that are into that stuff, but for the major sports in this country, there's just not a lot of good news. And last week I went on that rant, and I hope that I articulated it well, because as we all know, I get a little fast sometimes, and there's no question I am no professional here. But what I was trying to reiterate, what I was trying to say last week was basically that we need it. We need this sports back, you know, to kind of help us unplug on a daily basis. You know, we need that. And I thought this morning as I was trying to organize this show, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's become, and I don't think I'm the only one sitting here saying this, it's become difficult to put together a sports talk show and talk about the things that I think we want to talk about. You know, you that's why we're here, is to talk about sports. And what I realized this morning is that sports is supposed to be, for at least for me, from my perspective, And I'm going to probably take myself away from everybody else that works in this studio because I come from a different level. Like, there are a lot of brilliant people that work in this building. I mean, I'm sitting right next to Austin Danforth, and I'm not saying because you're in front of me, but you are an award-winning, and I mean this with all seriousness, you're an award-winning sports writer. This is what you do. I mean, you take situations in sports, you study them, you break them down, and then you present them so people like me can read them and understand what's going on. I look across from here, I got this kid over here, Aaron Wells, that's learning to be a producer. He's learning to be a personnel. He's working in this station every day. And then you go to the huddle during the week, and you've got Brady Farkas, who is as organized and as professional as they come in terms of what he does and what he's brought to this station. You've got Rich, that is an absolute icon. I think there's a handful of voices in the state of Vermont, and Rich has that voice. And then I don't know if we give Arnie enough respect and recognize what he is. He's a nationally syndicated host. He is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then I come into this as I'm a fan. So, like, when I look at sports, to me, sports allows me the innocence to go back to my childhood. That's what it means to me. 5 years ago, when they gave me this opportunity to get in front of this microphone and do this with friends, like I did it with Bernie for years, my close friend, and now having to do it with you guys, getting the chance to do it with you guys, I just wanted to come on here and talk about the stuff that I want to talk about, which is the fun stuff about sports. I am fed up and sick and tired of talking about contracts and wanting to play, and should they play, and where are they going to play, and how are they going to play, and COVID-19, and all this. I'm done looking at it, and I'm not downplaying any of it. I get that there's situations, but we need, as a nation, I truly believe it, that sports brings people together. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a story right now that will explain it perfectly. In 2004, I was like 28 years old. And as a diehard Yankee fan, I mean, you know, as when you're in your 20s, and you're in the middle of it, so you understand this, or you're in the beginning of your 20s, so you're a rabid Patriot fan. When you're in your 20s, like, that's your life, man. I mean, you got, you know, you're hanging out with your buddies, you got your jobs, you know, you hang out with your friends, and then you have your sports teams that you're rivaling about. And as a Yankee fan going into 2004, I had seen nothing but, it was fun for me. And Red Sox fans were struggling. Especially after 2003.
It was a charmed existence.
It was. And I remember in 2004 when the Yankees were up 3-0 thinking this is, again, if you don't remember, in the ALCS, the Red Sox are the only team in baseball, definitely. I think in anywhere.
Major sport
that came back from a 3-0 deficit and beats the Yankees. And I can remember how devastated I felt just thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna wear this. My Red Sox fan buddies are going to be all over me. And I remember my best friend calling me Matt Mackin and saying to me, calling me up and saying, I know how much pain you're probably in right now, and I know it because I felt it. He goes, but I just want you to know, I have never felt this in my life. Like the sense of happiness and just straight raw emotion of watching his Red Sox overcome the Yankees, number one, in the way they did it, and then to go on and win the World Series. I was actually, don't tell anybody this, rooting for the Red Sox in 04 because of all of my friends that had never seen it before and were hungering for it. And that's what sports does. This past winter, for Christmas, we went to Florida. My wife and I and our family went down and spent with my wife's family down in Florida. And the last couple days, when after everybody left, we stayed for a couple days. And if you haven't been to the St. Pete Beach area in Florida, when you can get down there, it's a really fun place to go. And it's a cute little, it's called the Postcard Inn. My wife and I love it. The rooms aren't great, you know what I mean? But the atmosphere is really fun, yeah. And they've got a great pool and a fun bar. And we were there on a Sunday. And everywhere we saw, it was an NFL Sunday, was wearing their colors. You know, there was a 72-year-old woman wearing a Tom Brady jersey. And then you see the 55-year-old lawyer with his Jets hat on. And everybody's wearing their colors. And I went into this place. We were watching the Giants were playing Philadelphia. And I was sitting next to a bunch of guys from Philadelphia that were just going crazy. And they were giving me crap. I had a Giants visor on. But, you know, after about 5 minutes, we were buddies. In fact, they listen to the show. They text me once in a while and say, like, what are you talking about? You know, you become friends because sports brings us together. And it's the only thing that allows us to be a child for a little while. I would say to anybody, when the NFL, if and when the NFL comes back, and eventually, well, whether it's this year, next year, whatever, go to a coffee shop Sunday morning, really early, get a cup of coffee and a bagel or a donut, sit down, and watch people come in with their colors on. I mean, it's the only thing. It's the only thing for a few moments, a few hours a week, Austin, or a few hours a day, if you're a baseball fan or a hockey fan or a sport that plays every day, where you can put those colors on and be a moron for about 2 hours and scream and yell. And if your team happens to win a big game, think about that, the elation you feel. It's like you just won $2 million. And like I said, we need it to bring us together. And that's right now we are just sitting in this abyss of arguing and fighting and I hate it. And as a person that's coming on as just a straight fan, like last week, you weren't here for the show, but Brady and I had this back and forth about the Patriots. And he was giving me brilliant facts on why the Patriots will stink. And he's right. Like, I'm not digging into what round the tight end came from, or if the player, I mean, he had stats that, and he was, everything he said to me, he was right. But to me as a fan, I look at it and like my philosophy will never change on the Patriots. Until I see a Bill Belichick team stink, I'm not going to believe it. Because as a fan, that's all you care about. And that's where we got to get to again. We don't have that right now. We just have, we don't have anything. So we need to have a sensation that we are going to be brought together by sports again. I mean, yeah. That's what we need. And that's, I think, the biggest thing for me right now is that putting shows together and talking about sports, it isn't fun. I mean, I'm a big baseball fan, but I can't even, I'm so fed up with the stuff that to me, it's like, this isn't what I want to see. We work in the business world. We work people, everyone listening has a job. You go to work, you deal with that stuff every day. We need to be able to decompress it down and say, who cares how much they make or how much they don't make or how much they should make, or this person should, you know, the owners need to give more. The players are taking too much. Just we need to be in a position where we can sit down with our families and with our friends and just enjoy ball game.
Yeah.
We got to get there, Austin.
Amen to that. Like what you said, your points last week to open the show, I thought were really on. I thought you nailed it, and especially what you're going for. And today, what you're getting at is like, there's no escape right now.
None.
And like seems like there could be avenues towards everybody having that sort of escape, that vehicle. But without it, everybody is just as isolated and fractured. And those little pockets, like your team, your fandom creates a community. And whether or not you're in the same room or stadium or bar as that community, like ultimately you know in the back of your mind you're identifying with, and you're part of like your own tribe of people that, you know,
yeah,
Giants fans or Yankees fans, you know.
But even as our tribes, right, again, our Yankee fans, our Giant fans, our Europe, you know, whatever it is, but it's, we still come together at the end. That's the thing that gets me about these Philadelphia Eagle fans and I could have been at each other's throats, right? I mean, these guys had been drinking all day, and I truthfully had not been, but you know, we're just in a bar.
Yeah,
pretty good at me, right? You know, you're on vacation. But you know, you could have had something, but you know, there was some fun banter, and then the next thing you know, he's putting his arm around me and we're talking about, you know, his family and what he's doing down here, and you become friends, because at the end of the day, there really is no hate in sports. You root against it, but when it's over, you're still together. And that's, I think, what I've taken and what I've seen, which you kind of miss. Like, I don't know how to explain. Do you ever see the movie Surrogate with Bruce Willis years ago?
No.
So there's a movie called Surrogate, and I don't remember the premise of the whole movie, okay? Like where, but basically what the premise is, we're in a futuristic society where we, as people, aren't ourselves anymore. We have androids, and we control those androids. So the whole world, you know, you watch like the first scene of a movie, and you got these very beautiful people, these, you know, great looking people in this working and at a party and everything. But then you dive into it, and it's these surrogates are being controlled by people that aren't getting out of bed, and they, you know, they haven't showered, and they look terrible, and they're just pigging out, and they're in bathrobes, and they're just living their lives through this surrogate. And I feel like we're somewhere there because we are living our lives through other people's opinions. You know what I'm saying? So if I love Austin Danforth's writing, I can't get enough of it, and I watch Austin Danforth on, say, Twitter, and he says something, and you know, and you say something that is, you know, let's just say you say something like, baseball, I'm done with baseball, I've had it with this, I'm not doing this anymore. And I look at you and say, okay, Austin now is determining my mindset instead of me seeing the game, because you forget. Because some of us are still locked in our homes being nervous to go out. The COVID-19 thing. I mean, it's so scary. I get it. And I'm never in a million years would downplay COVID-19. But I would wonder what our population would do if we put statistics up of every disease that somebody is contracting every single day. What it would do to our mindsets if we saw, you know what the flu does to somebody every, you know, how many people can contract the flu every day, or pick a disease. There's a zillion things that are very difficult to understand. When COVID came out, there were people that would put things out with things you don't even think about, but you wonder what it would do. So we have this psyche where we're staying inside, we're picking sides, we're not living our lives and being able to just live and make our decisions based on what we do and what we see. I think sports would bring us back to a situation, whether there's fans in the crowd in the stands or not,
yeah,
just let us get ourselves back out there and give us something to look forward to and something to root for.
Whether you're going to a stadium or not, if you're just sitting on your couch and watching the game you would have watched anyway,
right?
That you... It's a part of your life. It's 2 or 3 hours a week where you're not Jeff Paul, you know,
exactly.
Business owner. You're
yeah.
not Jeff Paul, you know, grown adult. You're just Jeff Paul sports
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, crazy sports fan.
And that sports fan element equalizes everybody's age. Like, if you're a sports fan, you're a sports fan. You could be that at 4. You could be it at 104.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
And one of the sad things about all of this stuff with baseball specifically is that the way they've handled it, we could be having the same conversation again in 2022 over a labor strike.
But see,
because they're so angry.
And you're absolutely right. And that's the stuff. But that's the thing. That's what I mean. Like, I don't want to talk about, like, that's what I'm saying.
That just gets you down.
It
more.
Does. It's like, okay, so you put your hands up. Okay, we would have to take a break, but I want to get to the Green City Garage poll question today. And it's a good one. Green City Garage poll question. Green City Garage, located at 49B Commerce Ave in South Burlington, 802-651-9299. Chris Wallace over there, man, the owner of Green City Garage, is the best. If you have any kind of car problem, give him a call right now, 802-651-9299. The question today is for all you Patriot fans out there. And maybe if you're not a Patriot fan, but go to Twitter at 101.3 The Game and answer this question for us. What was your reaction seeing your boy Tom Brady in a Bucks uniform this week? Was it A, devastated, B, excited, or C, I don't care, no feeling at all? Go to Twitter right now and let us know. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I didn't even get to our show rundown. We got quite a rundown here. But legendary sports broadcaster in Vermont, George Como, joins us next. Don't miss this.
The high school coach and the high school reporter who comments on that coach. How do they do a show together? It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
Mention my new shirt to you guys today. I wore this specially for you. So if you check us out on Twitch television, you can see my new shirt. Basically, it's the creamsicle color of the Tampa Bay Bucks. And it says it's New Day Tampa Bay. And you know that the old Bucks logo with the Buccaneer with the sword in his mouth. Well, this is a Tom Brady with the sword in his mouth. So I thought you guys would enjoy that.
That's
this morning.
Just gross.
I mean, when I saw this, I'm like, I have to have it. I got to buy it for the boys. I was going to wear it last week, but our guy here was turning 21 and wasn't here, so I saved it for you guys for this week.
Why do you have to hurt me like this?
Oh, come on. I know. I can't imagine what it feels like to see your, like, especially somebody like, that would be, for me, the comparison of Derek Jeter playing for somebody else. I'd struggle with that. I would just absolutely struggle with that. I struggle with it that he owns the Marlins. I mean, I don't like that.
That's understandable.
I don't even like that, but anyway. Hey, listen, I don't know if you, first of all, I said earlier today, you guys, this is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game, that there are a few voices in the state of Vermont, and Austin, you can relate to this as a sports writer, that just go with the flow, right? I mean, growing up for me, it was Jack Healy in the Rutland area, who's a legendary voice of Rutland sports, was actually the voice of the UVM men's hockey team for a long time up here as well, so even people up here may know Jack. And I think the other voice up here, from here, that I think relates to Jack is our next guest who joins us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, our good friend and legendary Vermont broadcaster, George Como. Good morning, George. What's happening today, buddy?
I am good, Jeff. I want to clarify something right away, though.
Sure.
I'm not related to Healy.
No, we know. I know that.
I can relate to Healy, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I think the crowd, the people that listen, can relate to how I feel about Jack the same way you. But for a long time, you and Jack were working at NSN, right? So both of your voices were on the air down there.
Yeah, we were, and I guess we still are. We're kind of on a hiatus right now because
right.
there's not a heck of a lot going on. But, of course, Jack, and for years and years and years, the great Rutland-Chittenden County rivalry, Jack was the voice of the Rutland teams, be it the Raiders or the Mounties or whomever, And very often I was the voice of Essex or CVU or South Burlington or something like that. So we were always on the opposite side of the fence. But Jack's a great guy, and it's been great working with him.
Yeah, we really honestly, and this is the beautiful part about the state of Vermont, and I said it all the time, that we have people like you, George, and Jack, that, you know, growing up, it's just part of our makeup. You know, I mean, I can't imagine when not hearing Jack Healy's voice as I'm growing up in Rutland, is the same way I think for people that are up here with you, George. And even the fact I've been up here 20 years now, and there's just something about hearing your voice. And I'm not saying this because we're talking on the phone here, but there's something about hearing your voice that's calming. And I think it just kind of brings people back when you're calling games.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, listening to what you were saying in your last segment, you need that right now, Jeff. Sounds like you need it desperately.
I do. I need you to call a game for me right now, George. You know what I mean? Calm me down a little bit.
Well, I'm thinking about going over to a Little League game here if things get started after the 1st of July, just to try to keep in practice. I've gone now better than 3 months without doing a game. And I don't think in all my years doing this stuff, I can recall another time when I hadn't been able to say that.
It is a crazy time. Well, George, I want to get to the letter you wrote to Major League Baseball. That's what got me to call you this week. Obviously, crazy times happening in Major League Baseball, and I thought your letter was unbelievable. But talk about that and what you were trying to get across to the people in Major League Baseball.
Well, basically, I'm like every other baseball fan. I have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for these guys to get their acts together, and I can't remember what the final incident was. It was early this past week, and I just said to hell with this, and I sat down and I wrote out a letter, and basically I told them what I think most baseball fans think, and it was that they need to get their acts together and start thinking about the importance of baseball to the country, the importance of baseball to baseball fans who followed it all their lives, and hopefully it'll get read by somebody. I'm sure I sent copies to Rob Manfred and Tony Clark. I doubt very much if either one of them will ever see it, but hopefully somebody in their office will.
George, I guess, for you, what is it you miss the most right now with sports?
Oh, gosh, Austin. Bottom line, nitty-gritty, paycheck.
Fair.
You know, that's part of it for me. I mean, it is something I love. I am a fan. I wouldn't be doing what I do. I wouldn't have done all these years what I do if I wasn't a fan. But it is also how I make my living. So that is part of what the whole thing is all about. But you can only watch, and I have, and I'm surprised by this, I have watched on ESPN and on NESN and on the MLB Network replays of past games. And actually find myself enjoying them much more than I thought I would ever be able to do. But you can only do that so many times. I'm a big fan of old movies, but you can only watch Turner Classic Movies for so long before you're seeing replays of the replays of the replays. So, yeah, but you know what? It's funny. The other night, I was out at a friend's house, and the friend has a place on the lake, and she and my wife and I were down by the lake. It was sunset. We were on the beach by the lake and having a wonderful time, and it occurred to me that that night was going to be opening night for the Lake Monsters, and I'm thinking, well, if we had baseball, I'd be at the ballpark. I'd be making money. I'd be covering a game I love. But being out here at the beach at sunset on a beautiful night isn't all that bad either. So, you take the good with the bad, and I guess that's how you have to play it.
George, you know, nobody's gone through this, I guess, in terms of to know what's going to happen when everyone's able to go back and we're able to have some normalcy. But I think one of the things that I've taken is it's kind of exactly what you just said, is that I find myself finding pleasure in doing other things. You know, I mean, there was a time where I would never miss a Yankee game. Like when I got home from work, I'd make sure that game was on. I couldn't miss it. I mean, there's so many things that I'm doing now instead of getting ready for these games. And I'm finding myself that as the days go on, I'm not missing it as much.
Yeah, that's part of what I wrote in the letter. I want to read you like the last three paragraphs of this letter that I wrote. And, you know, I'm talking about all the bad things that's going on, the millionaires battling with the billionaires. And I say, I want to be outraged at you both. I want to scream on a pox on both of your houses. I'm through with baseball forever. But that's the saddest part of all. I've got those 65 years of memories, 65 years of great players and great games and great moments. Yep, I'm hooked. You've got me right where you want me, right by the short hairs. But the fact that I am 70 should be a message to you. My generation will not be around forever. I brought my sons up with baseball, and while they follow the game, it's hardly their favorite, and it will get worse. You should settle your petty differences now and get back out there on the field where you belong. Or else, when history is written on the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020, among many victims of this cruel disease, will be the once great game of baseball.
Georgia, that is so well said, and I think you speak for millions of baseball fans around the country. I really
do. And every night, as you said, every night that goes by in the summer when you go out and you find, hey, there really is something else other to do than just sit down and watch a ball game. As much as we love a ball game, that's going to have a cumulative effect. And when the game comes back, and it will at some point in some form, it will come back. But now people know, you know, I don't have to watch this game tonight. I could go do something else. Baseball, I think, loses sight of that.
George Cuomo, you are absolutely the best. Thank you so much for the time this morning, and we'll definitely have you on again down the road.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Austin. Have a good day.
You're the best, George. Thank you so much. I think that's a perfect way to end this interview with him, was the last few paragraphs of his letter.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to find it if you go to his Facebook page, that's where I saw it. And I think he speaks volumes for everybody, Austin. I really do. I mean, it's just crazy that where we're at today, you know, I've stuck up for baseball. We have debates about it all the time about how, you know, I don't want to see the game change and I hate change. And if you don't like baseball, don't watch it. But you wonder what baseball is thinking when you see, and we'll talk about it next segment as well, but when you see this, there is so much against baseball every day, even when the games are going on, right?
I mean,
there are people out there that are against baseball. They don't like it, and they tell you they don't like it. And you can see that Major League Baseball is listening to that voice because they're trying to change rules, right? I mean, we got to speed it up. So we start changing these things, which I think mean absolutely nothing at the end of the day. But on top of this, I mean, they have a major PR problem on their hands when it's over.
Yeah, I think, like, it seems like the players and the owners are so inside baseball with this. Like,
yeah, they're tone deaf.
Inside, they're so insulated from the rest of the world that they also should probably be doing a calculation in their, you know, calculations as they figure out what's feasible and what we can, where the point of no return is. Are they going to factor in for losing 5%, 8%, 13% of their fans that might not come back, or definitely won't come back to the loyalty level that they have been at before, where, you know, they might not buy the MLB package. They might not go to games anymore. They definitely probably won't watch as many games during the season. Cause like George said, they realize, wow, summer's kind of a nice time to be outside and like doing other things, not in front of the TV. Are they prepared to, like, have they forecasted out? Well, if we lose 5% of everybody that's interested in baseball, cause they either are fed up with us or find that life is better without baseball, or not, you know, life is not irredeemable without baseball, where are they going to be then?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that, and as someone from my perspective, and anyone that knows me knows that I mean, this is what I love. I mean, I'm at a point now where I feel like I'm almost a better husband. I feel like I'm almost a better, you know, boss. I think I'm a better uncle, and I mean, I think I'm a better son. Like I'm doing more. I mean, I feel like I'm feeling a little bit more fulfilled because I'm spending more time with the people that I love, and I think that's a great thing for me. But that's not going to be a good thing for a big fan like me. If you lose me, you're in deep trouble.
And like his analogy in the piece of himself being on the hook, you know, like a fish, is a really good one because the kids aren't on the hook. And right now, it feels like the MLB is really stirring the water, scaring away the fish.
And you
right.
wonder, and you know,
throwing
Austin,
rocks in the water.
And you had a great point, Austin, about like are they thinking about if they lose 5%, 6%? Like, what if they lose 20%? I mean, there is no number. Like, this isn't like last time we did this, we lost 5%. We'll be okay. We'll you know, there's no, we don't know. This is not good.
Right.
And with 2021 on the horizon, where we could be doing this all over again, I mean, the national pastime could be in deep trouble.
Yeah, it's when you're trying to grow your sport, you don't grow it by culling people that won't come back. Like that's not growth.
It isn't. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to ask your opinion about something with baseball, though.
Okay.
I mean, it'll be interesting perspective. We'll get into that next. Don't go anywhere.
Bringing you another day closer to game day. It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
I do want to make a point to say that Aaron is a much better offensive coordinator than Brady Farkas.
And when it comes to coming in on the bumper.
Aaron, last week, what you don't know is that there was a, I don't remember what song it was, but so I base everything on what you tell me, right? So you when you point at me, I start talking. So I was waiting. So Brady did the same thing. So this music starts, he points at me, so I start talking. Even though deep down inside, I do want to make full disclosure. I knew that the crescendo of the song was coming.
Yeah.
Yet he pointed at me, and I thought, okay, he wants me to go now, so I'm going to start. And then, of course, Austin calls me out and says, you know, what are you doing?
You talked over the peak.
And of course, as the, you know, as the prima donna quarterback I am, I blamed it on Brady. But for you, my man, like, you are spot on. Like, I mean, I don't react until I see that, you know, that finger pointed at me, and that's what I thought. And he's good at that. See, that's what I'm used to. I'm used to a guy that's, hey, this is when you talk. It's perfect.
I thought we were going on the two count. I'm split out wide. Yeah. I thought I'm going on the two count. He's giving me the one count.
We did make the adjustment, though, didn't we?
Yeah,
we made the adjustment.
We
had a good second half.
We had a couple completions
after
that.
We did all right after that. So. Hey, listen, don't forget to go to 101.3 The Game at Twitter and answer our poll question today. The Green City Garage poll question is, what was your reaction seeing Tom Brady in a Bucks uniform? A, devastated. B, excited. Or C, no feeling. We'll talk about that next thing, but let us know what you're thinking. I wore my new Tom Brady shirt today, which if you didn't hear earlier, if you want to go to Twitch TV, it says it's a new day, Tampa Bay, and the beautiful creamsicle T-shirt with Tom Brady.
I'm going to do something for myself. I'm going to move this other microphone
so you can't see it.
So
even
I can't
worse.
See as much of it. Maybe I don't think it worked. Damn.
Oh God! You know, I saw this T-shirt and I said I have to have this. I have to have this. I don't even know if I'll ever wear it again, but I had to have it for you guys. Maybe I'll wear it. Maybe I'll wear it if I go to a Patriots game or something sometime. But anyway, so I wanted to bring this up. Because as we talked earlier about the social media piece here, and you know, people, I feel like the problem that baseball's had, say the last. See, I knew you wanted to move that. You can't not look at me, man. I get it. I understand.
I'll understand.
One of the things that I think baseball's biggest problem has been is that we've had influential people that people follow that have been out there on the social media world that have basically just poo pooed on baseball for a long time. And realistically speaking, baseball has heard, and I think they're reacting, and I think there are probably numbers that back it up. I understand. I've always said that if you have a winner, people come. I've always believed. I don't care what the sport is. You could have a division. If the Lake Monsters would fill the stadium every single week if they had the best team in the league. That's just people like winners. They want to be a part of that. So I've always looked at baseball and said, look at any team. Look at the Kansas City Royals 10 years ago when they were great and they won the World Series. Like they were packing that stadium every day because if you win, you're successful. But we've had a social media push lately from people that do this for a living, the quote unquote experts that I'm not watching baseball. It's too slow. I've talked to you numerous times saying, I get into baseball when the playoffs start.
It's too many games. I just can't invest myself over 160 games.
When you have all of that and you have a society now that really looks to what people say to make a reaction. This is why I'm stunned that baseball and Manfred and these people and the owners and the players haven't looked at this and thought to themselves, you know what? We're going to be the first team. We're going to be the first sport to get back, and we're going to make sure that this is right. And that's where I'm saying, like, there's so much against them all the time. There's so much that they don't have all the time that when you look at what they're going through, that you think that they'd want to make those decisions that were basis on, hey, we're going to be the first ones out here to show that we can be successful here and make people know that. That's my point. I don't understand what the mentality is with baseball. Like, how tone deaf do you have to be? You've had so many people against you for so long. You know what I mean? Like, you have these people out there that are preaching against baseball, that are preaching against all the things that you love and trying to change your game, and you've been listening to it. Now we're in a position where we're responding in a poor way. I mean, they're going to pile on the sport.
Right. No, they're like, both sides are essentially cutting off their nose to not spite their face.
Yeah. All right, we got a call here. Dave from Burlington. Good morning, Dave. What's happening, buddy?
Good morning, Jeff, old pal. How are you?
Good, my man. Oh, my guy.
Hey, as you know, I enjoy baseball a lot. I listen to every game.
Sure.
Or watch every game. And I find myself watching, like, for instance, tonight is a big competition going on between Antifa and the Patriots.
Oh, but yeah. Okay.
What if baseball were to come back? Let's talk about that. I don't think anybody's figuring out that, you know, I come from a production background, and I used to record a lot of highlights for George Como even.
Yes.
There's a big aspect to the crowd. If baseball comes back, you're not going to get, like, okay, when Reggie Jackson hit his third home run in the World Series game, if you ever watch that, that crowd hit a fever pitch. It made the hair on your neck stand up. That's going to be gone. People are going to realize that the crowd adds a lot to the production of baseball, and it's going to be awful boring.
Yeah, you know,
one more point I'd like to add before I hang up is,
sure,
if baseball were to end right now, the only good news I can see is it settles an old argument that the Yankees were the best of all time. Thank you, buddy.
Attaboy, Dave. Attaboy. You know, I think Dave makes a great point that, you know, people not being in the crowd, yeah, it might be different. But I think that this, I don't believe that's going to be the norm forever. I think for us at home, for the people that are at home, if they can play, I think it would mean something. That's the point. I agree with him. Like, baseball won't be the same this year, folks. Like, if they're not going to have crowds in the stands and you got a big home run in the ninth inning at Fenway Park and it's the play, all you hear is a couple claps unless they pump, you know, they pump crowd
right.
noise in, it's going to be different. But I think overall we need the game to come back just because, golf is a good example of this, right?
Yeah.
Last weekend was the first weekend that I had a chance to watch some golf. And you know what I thought? It's going to be weird not having a crowd. But, you know, you watched it and it was still exciting. It was still my God, these guys are playing great. You know, I mean, you had the same mentality.
It's still golf. It's slightly weird without the fans. Like, because they're like, when there is a big putt somebody makes, like, you know, you think Tiger, you know, holing out the chip at Augusta, or when he won at Augusta last year.
Yeah.
And like, the crowd was definitely the, like, if it wasn't 1A, it was 1B as far as what made the scene, what made the sound. That's going to be weird. I noticed watching the highlights of these European soccer leagues where, like, the Premier League the other day didn't pipe in crowd noise. The Bundesliga in Germany, they have added crowd noise either to the broadcast or the stadium. And you're like, okay, like, I know there's no one there, but it is almost soothing to have that, like,
yeah,
sort of white noise that is associated with the game itself to, you know, at least make you feel a little normal. I didn't catch part of any of the goals. Where, like, did they spike the crowd noise? Did someone hit a
right.
button? And
that,
like,
was my question. Oh, so you didn't hear any of that?
I'm thinking back now, and I don't remember them doing that, which would be weird. I think in the same time, though, like, as we move forward in time, and, you know, this year will be memorable for all the reasons we all know, if we're watching back the highlights from if we get a World Series and there's a game-winning home run and there's no cheering, that's going to be a noteworthy, like a poignant
yeah.
piece to that, you know, what it signified, what happened this year, and everybody will know. Yeah, they, like, it's a clearly it's a bummer that there isn't that elation in the crowd and the fever pitch, But you know, okay, that was 2020.
But see, don't you think this? And I think Dave's call is perfect because his mentality is, you know, the crowd is part of the any sport is.
Oh yeah.
But don't you think that we need to know as a people that eventually we're going to be there again though? And I think that's what we miss, even if we don't know. Okay, even if we don't know, and I get it. Like, you know, there is we don't know who knows. I mean, but. To give us the sense that, hey, it's coming. We're going to be back there. Like, everybody stay calm. Life's going to go on. We're going to get through this. Like, that's what we need. Instead, we're scared. We're nervous. We're anxious. We don't know. So then you got a guy like Dave who's a big baseball fan that's calling up and saying, like, you know, what if we don't have crowds? Like, you know, well, we may not have crowds this year. Maybe we won't have crowds if they have baseball and they play 60 games. Maybe at game 50 they have the ability to put people in the stands. Who knows? But at least give us the sense that it's coming. It's like the Fauci thing coming out this week and saying football can't start. You know, we're not. It's like, why are you saying that? Like, fine, maybe it won't, and maybe you're right. But why are you saying it now? Like, why now do you have to say it? Why don't you say it when it's about to start if it's not going to happen? Why on June something when we know nothing's happening for another month or two or whatever? Why do you have to say it now? Like, why do you come out and say that right now? Like, during the draft when he came out and said, hopefully we have football, like, just go away. We don't want it. Right now we want to be able to focus on what we can look forward to. And for many, many people in our society that are struggling with their jobs, struggling to work, struggling to put money in their pocket, haven't worked. George Cuomo's a perfect example. Here's a guy that just wants to get back to work. And you're going to come on and say, hey, we're looking forward to, because maybe in a month or month or two, we're going to have football again. Now you're telling us, no, it can't happen. Like, why do you say that now? Why?
I think we're going down a different road right now. But, like, ultimately, I think at some point there needs to be an adult in the room where it, like, you're going to get the bad news at some point. Do you want to live with the illusion for 2 months, potentially, if we don't know?
Yeah, because if the chance is there, but he doesn't know. And that's the point. If you don't know.
I think the thing with him is he's the guy who's probably best suited to know.
But like, is he the only voice? I mean, he's not the only voice.
That's why we can't treat him like the only voice.
I agree with that. And I'm not trying to go down a road here that says he's right, wrong, or what he's. I'm not trying to go down that road. What I'm saying is I think we as people, with everything that we're used to in our world, has been completely taken back from us, essentially, for a lot of aspects. I mean, the world's essentially stopped for all intents and purposes. Like, can't we have something to look forward to? And then if we get closer to it and something has changed, fine. But why today? You know what I'm saying? That's my point. I think as a sports fan, you need it. I just think it'd be good to say, hey, we're looking forward to it so we can talk about this stuff and enjoy it and not say, okay, why are we talking about this for?
I come from the point where you have to manage expectations a little bit and temper expectations. Because, you know, the come down from thinking it's going to be something and then it's going to be way less than that, it for me is really devastating a lot of times. And I'm not talking sports, I'm talking anything. I think if we want to veer back towards more fun territory, we can think about how, you know, these golf tournaments without fans, there's no grandstands. When the players can't just pump balls at the grandstands knowing it's a free drop,
it's true.
It changes the game. That's true. Like, they're almost like backboards out there. For these guys that want to, like, try something, they know if they miss it right, there's a grandstand there. They hit it in the grandstand, they get a free drop, and it's all okay. These mechanics, like Aaron was asking about, do you spike the crowd noise? How does it seem? Like, what's it like if you're pumping in crowd noise and then the crowd would have changed and it doesn't? It's just, the vuvuzelas back in South Africa. Golf, like, yeah, there's no crowd, and it's like, okay, golf, you know, when you're playing golf, it's not really a noisy game. But the game itself is actually changing for those guys, and we get to watch it in real time.
Yeah, I thought I had no problem watching it. I thought it was still exciting. I actually forgot about there was no crowds there, to be honest with you.
Right.
But those iconic moments you're talking about, remember Tiger walking down on the crowd behind him, walking with him. Like, those are those iconic pictures, those iconic moments that you're not going to have this year right now. You're not going to have it. But if they could get back on the field, it would be good. And I guess I get where you're coming from in terms of, you know, limiting expectation and being honest. But at the end of the day, like, we have no idea where we're going to be in a month or 2 months. And right now, I believe we just need some bedside manner that says, you know what, we're going to try to get there. Let's focus that we are, and we'll make the decision when we have to. I don't know. You had something you wanted to add over there, Aaron? I saw your...
Yeah, so speaking of, you know, things that are interesting and worth looking forward to around the COVID changes, imagine, like, in the NBA without fan noise, how much trash talk you'd be able to hear.
Oh, like, I don't know if they can do it.
Yeah, I know. They have to turn... like, there'd be no microphones on down there, I can imagine.
I think I forget who I was talking to. Yeah, the SAP button, you can make it go Spanish or English. Yep. If you have the R-rated version...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about it here. Yeah. Well, I will say this. Growing up, we had one of those big satellite dishes. I told you guys the story. Yeah. Yep. And before they understood what they were doing, like these people would go to commercial, and you'd hear what the announcers were talking about, like when they thought they were on commercial. And they would be, you know, we're watching this, and, you know, Brent Musburger and whoever, you know, you'd look at these guys, they're talking about things that they probably shouldn't be talking about on live television. It was better than the games themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it'll probably be a little bit like that. All right, we take a quick break. When we come back, I hear we have an out in left field that's pretty good. Aaron hasn't even told us about it yet. So we look forward to that. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Coming to you for the first time as a 21-year-old, Aaron Wells.
All right, so, Jeff, you're afraid of snakes, right?
Big time.
So how would you feel if you were on the highway and you found a snake in your car?
I would lose my mind.
Because police in Missouri had to come to the assistance of a driver who pulled over on the side of the interstate and fled her vehicle when she discovered a snake slithering around the floorboards of her car.
Oh my God, I'd lose it.
The Eureka police said officers responded to a woman who was calling hysterically asking for help when she found a snake inside her car while traveling Thursday morning. They arrived and were unable to reach the snake, so the car was towed to a safe location while the officers waited for the serpent to come out of hiding.
Oh my God.
Eventually, the police say the snake made the right decision and fled the vehicle, and the woman was able to return to the road. But when you can't get the snake out, you have to tow the car.
I'd be the same way.
That sounds like a bad dream.
So I'll tell you a story. Last soccer season, we were getting ready to practice, and I had my sort of preseason, so I had all these soccer balls in these big bags. And some of my players were like, you know, before practice, they're laying around waiting for to get ready to get started. And a snake came out of nowhere, and the kids are freaking out. And then I'm like freaking out, whatever. And then the snake gets lost. We don't know where it went. But it went near my bag, one of my soccer bags. So I was convinced that somehow it's hiding in the soccer bag. And the same moment that we lost the snake, I realized that our practice wasn't going to be on our practice fields, but our game field, which is like a drive away. So I had to pick up those bags and put them in my car. And for the whole summer, I was freaking out to the fact, thinking, I'm going to be sitting here and this is going to pop out, you know, up my leg, or it's going to be, and I'm going to lose my mind. I mean, I don't know why I'm so afraid of them, but I'm glad that she had the wherewithal to pull over and get out of the car. I don't know if I'd have the ability to do that.
Aaron, did this story say if it was on the driver's side, the passenger side, how big?
I saw a picture. It was curled up on the passenger side, like under the dash.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
Okay.
At least you got some distance.
So, like, I'm sitting here thinking, how do you bring the car to a stop if it's beneath your feet?
Oh, yeah.
Like, are you just hammering the e-brake?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do.
If it was on... I don't want to know what I would do if it was on my side. Like, I'm not deathly afraid of them, but there's something discomforting about
like imagine like wearing flip flops or something, and you're driving your car and you look down and there's a snake down
and
there.
It just brushes up against.
Oh
my!
Oh, geez, you're getting me. You make it.
Just a little garter snake.
Oh yeah, I don't like any of them. There's something about them. I can't deal with them. But you know, you see those things all the time. Like you watch on YouTube, and there'll be a guy driving on the road in Florida, and the snake will come out from. Like on its windshield, it come out from underneath the engine, hood, and there's a giant snake.
Florida stuff.
And that's whenever I'm traveling and I'm down there, that's the stuff I think about. So I'm always like peeking up, opening up the hood to make sure there's nothing there.
Well, the crazy videos are the ones where it's like a place in the world where they're used to snakes. So you'll see like a dad come out to the pool that's then empty for a while. There's a snake in there. He'll just grab it by the neck and pull it out.
Or how about the ones in the toilet? I think Thailand, there was one, there was and I don't know what kind of snakes are, but they're poisonous.
Like the king cobra.
Yeah, whatever. And they're in the toilet. You know, you sit down on the toilet and there's a snake in the toilet. That's worse than being in the car. Now that would be it for me. I'm not kidding you.
Let's spin it positive. If that you found a snake in the toilet, you can then have a standing rule. The seat's always up.
Well, that's a good point.
So you could always see if it's in there.
I don't know
before
if ever,
you put the seat down.
I don't know if I'd ever sit down on the toilet again, though, if that ever happened to me. I'm serious. Like, I can't imagine.
I'd never do so cavalierly.
No way. There'd be a lot of studying going on.
Whew.
Yeah, see, now I've lost my train of thought here. Now I'm all discombobulated. Talk about snakes. I don't like them. And I haven't seen one in years, to be honest with you. We have them all over my yard. I have not seen one yet. I mean, knock on wood. I hope I don't. I have not seen a snake in years now. I don't know why. And they're all my wife sees them all the time. My dogs, you know, are playing with them all the time. I have not seen a snake. They're, even like I've been around, my somebody like, oop, there's a snake, and I miss the snake. Maybe the snake knows. Stay away from me. Good for me. I'm probably just jinxed myself, though.
I was so excited when I saw that story because I knew it was going to bug you.
Somebody, I think it was Tom Schaefer on Facebook tweeted our Facebook the other day, a giant tree with like it was a king cobra nest, and I guess he's really afraid too because maybe somebody posted on his thing, but anyway, it was this big. I don't know what part of the world it was in, but it was
probably
it was,
like India,
and these giant king cobras. This guy's just pulling them out like no problem, like pulling them out like he's pulling his socks out, you know, just. I mean, snake after snake, huge king cobras. I'm like, oh my God, I would have just been, you know, rear-ended elbows. That's all you would have seen. Out of here. All right, sports update time. No more snake talk.
Now, back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Well, the first hour was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know? Get some, you know, stress out. Start yelling the microphone a little bit.
Get a little schwitz going, talking about snakes.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't know why. There's something about them. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. I am your host, Jeff Paul. My man, Austin Danforth, to my right, award-winning Burlington Free Press sports writer. And our guy, new 21-year-old over here, Aaron Wells, our producer, getting it done. Even your little this morning with your jokes, man. I mean, all of a sudden you're getting better.
He's feeling himself.
He is. He's feeling good. He's feeling good.
I was pretty happy with that one.
You can also text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 802-655-6672. I thought that we had, there's pretty good gems this week on the huddle. And my guy Arnie had some takes on, I like these little nuggets, like these little what ifs. You know what I mean? What if you do this? What if you don't? You know, I guess right now that's all you have. But, you know, they were talking this week on the huddle about Cam Newton and if he was in a Patriot uniform. And I thought that Arnie had interesting sound here. Let's hear that.
If Cam Newton was the starting quarterback for the Patriots, I would say maybe 6 to 7 wins.
So you're giving him 5 wins with Sidham and 6 wins with Cam?
About 1 or 2 more with Cam because the team is not very good.
Okay, so, I mean, and normally I'm with Arnie. Arnie's my guy. Like, and normally I'm with him in most cases. But I got to tell you, I think Cam Newton, I think Sidham as well. I think Cam Newton would be a 10-11 win team, the Patriots. I really do. I really believe that the Patriots, when the NFL starts, I think the Patriots are going to be an unbelievable story. But I think Cam Newton would be a perfect fit in New England. And I think if he's healthy, and again, I'm not talking about the injured Cam Newton, but if Cam Newton's healthy under Bill Belichick, I think you got something special. I really do.
Hey, so anybody watching on Twitch just now, the face I was making as I was listening to Arnie come up with that just harebrained take would have been like watching someone pushing on a pull door, not knowing it's a pull door, and then just taking the door off the frame because they couldn't figure out there's no way to get through, that you just could have just pulled it. No. Like, Cam Newton is a proven quarterback who can just sit in the pocket and throw darts. He can do stuff. Like, I think there was a thing on ESPN this week. He was named like the player of the decade for the NFL.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, that's no small feat. I think he's still got a lot left in the tank. I don't think you need to run him as like your primary or secondary, you know, running option, but to have him as a third option or something to keep your passing game a little more honest. I would love to see that.
Well, the biggest thing is he's got experience and confidence running an offense. So the system they could put out on the field with a guy like Cam Newton at quarterback is going to be a lot more thorough and fleshed out. So, like, because this is the guy who heard a linebacker say he read the play. And he's like, oh, you know what's coming? Watch this. That's the difference. Stidham has never played consistently in an NFL offense. And Cam Newton has. And I think that makes more than just a game or two's difference.
And you know what? I said it last week. I can't imagine Bill. And again, and to Sidham's defense, maybe he's the guy still. I mean, I think it's fun for Patriot fans to think, you know, Brady's gone. You want to bring in an established quarterback. But I just can't. I cannot fathom Bill Belichick staying in New England if this is a rebuild. I don't understand why he'd do it. Like, with everything he's done at his age and everything, why would you want to be part of a rebuild? I don't believe this team will be in rebuild mode. I think this guy thinks that they can win now. I mean, you know, winning a championship's one thing, but I think winning, putting yourself in a position to compete for a championship is something else. And I don't see why this team can't do that.
Whatever money he's making, which I'm sure is a lot, I don't think that's why he's just sticking around.
No.
And as much as he's won, And as much as he's made, there's no reason for him to stick around if he doesn't think he's going to be able to do the things he wants to do. And I got to think the first and last items on that list are winning. Like it's a one item list and it's winning. And if he can't do that, there's no reason at his age and his experience and everything he's done and accomplished for him to stick around.
And you wonder about, I don't know if Bill Belichick is one of those legacy guys. Like, I don't look at Bill Belichick as one of those guys that's just looking at his record and he wants to be known as the greatest coach. I don't think
he already is.
Which he is. But you wonder, and again, in his mind, would he want to be, let's say that whatever, I think they talked last week or the week before about, most Patriot fans feel comfortable it'll be another 5 years before they compete for a championship. It's like, how can you say that when you have this guy on the sideline? Like, he's proven year in and year out. And I think what's got to make Patriot fans feel better is that he's still there.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's probably going to be so driven to show everybody, because Bill Belichick doesn't show it. But I think deep down inside, it's like, I want to show all these quote unquote experts that said we're going to stink and that we're done and, and we can't win with this kid or whatever they decide to do at quarterback, that, the manager of the Cleveland Indians in Major League said, we're going to give him a nice, burger to eat. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I feel he's going with this. I can't imagine this team not competing in the AFC and especially in the AFC East. I just can't see it.
Right. So what I was talking about with his age, like, and you bring up legacy, I think he's still so far behind Don Shula. Like, I don't think he's going to catch Don Shula. So, like, I don't think he's, there's a world in which he can win enough games and become the winningest coach of all time.
Right.
That's not his legacy at this point. But so when you think about just like his track record, his last year in Cleveland was his worst year. But the what he accomplished in Cleveland in those 5 years built towards that year four where they went 11-5, they lost in the divisional round. They were not good before he got there. He made them into a good team. Then I think the documentary he did on HBO with Saban, like they went into like I think they lost Saban after 94, so they didn't have the D coordinator. And like they were a lesser organization at that point. So like, yeah, they ended up going 5-11 the year after they went 11-5, but they'd built to 11-5. Then he shows up in New England and does what we've seen in New England. And yeah, I don't see the worst case scenario, they win 6 or 7. Like, I just don't see it.
Glenn from Moncton on the Town Fair Tire text line said, I never thought I would defend Arnie, but he did judge more on the talent than just the quarterback. And I get that, Glenn, and I understand that. But I guess my point is that when you look at what Bill Belichick has done with this roster year in and year out, I feel like he creates superstars. I feel like every year there's a new guy leaving the Patriots, getting big money somewhere else and never living up to that contract. So to say that their roster isn't talented, I don't think is fair to what Bill Belichick has done with that organization. That's my point. That's what I was saying early in the first segment, that Brady and I had this back and forth. And you remember last week.
Yeah.
I mean, everything Brady says is right. I mean, there's nothing he's saying that about the Patriots roster that's not right. Yeah, they don't have any superstars. Yeah, they're short wide receivers. Yeah, their tight ends are unproven. Yeah, they don't have any. I mean, on paper, you're like, yeah, okay, they're not going to be very good. But I feel like every single year we sit here and we say this is not going to be a very good football team except for Brady and he's kind of older and whatever. And yet this team is competing for a championship. Halfway through the year last year, we were trying to figure out if they were going to go undefeated. You forget that. And then they had some, then they had the Josh Gordon situation. We had the AB the wide receiver there,
Antonio Brown
situation, and they kind of fell apart. But to sit here and say that Bill Belichick can't take a roster of the guys that he wants on his roster and win, and like I said last week, until you see it, how can you not expect it? You know what I mean?
Right. What Brady was getting at last week was, if I remember correctly, I don't mean to overstate things, but like basically they don't have enough talent, enough top end guys to produce at a high level.
But when do they ever?
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. Like you could look back at any of the last 20 years and when do they have, the best guy at any position in the NFL? Maybe two or three times.
I mean, maybe Gronkowski. Like, I mean,
Gronk,
yeah.
Brady a few years.
Yeah.
You could throw Will Fork in there as one of the best D linemen. You could throw in Randy Moss those couple of years. They've had the best slot receiver several years. But ultimately, that organization is built on getting really quality contributions from 22 guys, setting it up so that 22 guys can produce as they need to for a winning effort. And when you have 22 guys rowing in the right direction, doing positive things, that adds up to perhaps more than a team that might have three of the best guys in the league.
And that's what I want to say to you.
Producing at an all-world level. Right. When you got guys producing at a professional level across the board, that you have a good team.
And if you look at the NFL in general, right? I mean, there's only been one organization for the last 20-plus years that's been relevant every year is the New England Patriots. That's it. I mean, look at any other team. Like, we went through schedules last week with the Giants. And I was saying, I think the Giants are going to win the NFC East. And then they're giving the schedule. And, yeah, you look at the teams that they play this year. Yeah, last year they had really good seasons. But there is no guarantee that, say, the San Francisco 49ers are going to be a Super Bowl contender again. There's no guarantee of that. Because every year is different. Except for the New England Patriots.
Right.
So if all we've seen out of the Patriots is success, I don't see how you don't expect it again. It's going to be different. New quarterback. I mean, look at I always go back to the year Cassell was quarterback with the Patriots when Brady hurt his knee.
Matt Cassell.
Cassell was
not Sam Cassell.
What did I say? Sam Cassell's a point guard, right? He was played for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
And for Florida State. Great player at Florida State, too. But, I mean, that was a year that you thought, okay, this is going to be a throwaway year. Everything quarterback is done. The team's built around this quarterback. All that's there. But they end up winning 11 games. Didn't go to the playoffs. They won 11 games. So I guess what I'm saying is, I said it last week, and I don't mean to be redundant. Until someone shows me that Bill Belichick can't win with anybody, I mean, whoever heard of half these guys going into every year when they become all everything players? Like, you've never heard of them.
Even if they're not all everything players, I think that's what Brady might have got hung up on last week. Like, okay, so they're not all everything players, but you can't build a roster with all everything players with the money that you're allotted to build a roster. You have to be more creative. You have to be smarter. And that's where, at the end of the day, every year for the last 20 years, the Patriots have been smarter, and that starts on the sideline.
And they do have a strong defense still. Like, their defense is nothing to scoff at. So when you look at teams that rely on defense to win games, what do they need at quarterback, usually?
Game manager, baby.
Exactly. So would you want the more experienced guy or the less experienced guy?
Well, if I was a Patriot fan, and Bill, I'd trust. So if Bill Belichick believes that the kid's the guy, then he's the guy.
Right, I'm just saying in the comparison between what Stidham and
Cam. Right, and Cam Newton could bring to the table.
Yeah, the reality is I don't think you could afford Cam Newton realistically this year.
Like, unless it's a last-minute thing. And at that point, why would you build your team around a quarterback you signed at the last minute? Like,
right.
Unless you find out 3 weeks into preseason, Stidham can't hack it.
And remember, of course, Tom Brady was a nothing coming in too, right? We didn't know anything about Tom Brady. Drew Bledsoe gets hurt, and then it's all,
King said last week, a lot of people around the team, like the team had known going into that season, like that Brady ended up taking over. Like, Brady was outplaying Bledsoe a lot in, the practices, preseason and practices. Like, it was trending that way. So,
yeah, I think the Patriots are going to be the most important story of the NFL season. I think what they do is going to be amazing. Now, I think because the expectation's so low. I mean, you talk about giving the best in the business, Bill Belichick, some drive and some hunger. Just tell him he's going to stink. I mean, I can't just imagine what he's going to be telling these guys coming to the season. I mean, and listen, I'm no Patriot fan. I don't want the Patriots to be successful. It's going to be fun for me if they're not. I mean, I'm wearing a Tom Brady Tampa Bay shirt right now. But I just can't believe that Bill Belichick's not going to put a team that can win 10 games out there. I just don't believe it.
Well, what's crazy about the story is even if they don't, that's still a ridiculous story. Because, yeah, there's people saying that's what's going to happen. But actually seeing a 20-year dynasty go down the drain, even if you expected it in your mind, is going to be an experience. So, like, regardless of the outcome, it's going to be an interesting story. Either they make it happen and it's like, whoa, they did it with nothing. Or it's going to be, oh my God, I actually just watched a dynasty.
I wonder what'll happen to, and again, Tom Brady, I think, is the greatest quarterback ever to live. I truly believe that. But I wonder what legacy-wise happens if he goes to Tampa and he stinks. And then Stidham takes over New England and they win 11, 12 games.
That's the billion-dollar question right there. Like, because people are going to paint it as it was Belichick or it was Brady based on how this year goes. Like, if the Patriots are still the Patriots, then, well, how good was Brady, really?
Yeah.
And if the Patriots, for whatever multitude of reasons, don't look like the Patriots we know, it was Brady. They should have kept him. Belichick isn't as good as we thought he was.
Okay. Yeah, I just think it's going to be interesting to see because, I mean, Tampa Bay has got the roster looks good, but you don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see Tom Brady and what he does down there. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see at the end of the day what happens with these guys and you know, like I and Cam Newton being in a Patriot jersey. I don't know. I think if you're a Patriot, would you want Cam Newton over Stidham right now?
I mean, if it was feasible, I said earlier in the segment, I would do that.
To me, if you're a Patriot fan, I would almost want to rally around the kid to think, okay, this is our next guy. You know what I mean? Because I feel like Cam Newton would be a stopgap. That's not the future of the organization.
Yeah, I'm basing this on what I know.
Right.
And if we could get Cam Newton for 2 or 3 years,
yeah,
keep this party going. Like,
is Cam Newton, is he like a free, he's a free agent right now, Craig. Is that true? I don't even know if he's a free agent right now, isn't he?
Aaron?
I believe so, yeah. Because when Carolina moved on from him.
He is a free agent.
Right, he is a free agent. Okay.
He's only 31.
Yeah, man, and he's... Good. I mean, I'm surprised on it. He's not on anybody's roster, too, which is kind of shocking to me.
Yeah.
But then again, the NFL is kind of in this limbo right now, too, so maybe that has something to do with it.
And
but.
There's sort of this mindset in the NFL now of, like, try and get a quarterback with upside who's, like, really young, like, rookie contract young, and play them for cheap and see if they
that's the way everybody except the Patriots have been successful lately.
But isn't that the way all sports are going, right? We talked about it a couple years ago when Bryce Harper was a free agent, Manny Machado. When they were building up 4 or 5 years before their contracts ended with the Orioles and with the Nationals, we talked about, oh, they're going to get big contracts with the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox. And what ends up happening, that the mentality in Major League Baseball was, we're going to build from within. We're not going to put those big contracts out there. The NFL is going the same direction, right? We're not going to throw all that money at a franchise quarterback. We want to see if we can build from within so we can spread the money around. So it's interesting. I'm sure it'll come back to where teams will realize we got to have that quarterback. So you sign these guys. You roll the dice on a guy like Cam Newton for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's interesting how these organizations and these leagues work.
What it will likely take is an otherwise promising team who rolls the dice on a young guy for money reasons and gets burned by it, like, publicly. That's what it will probably take for that system to go away.
Yeah, you might be right. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, hey, we're going to talk some New York Giants football. Interesting world in New York Giants world right now. I think they're going to be unbelievable, but there's a lot of opinions going the other way. We talk to Lock on Giants podcast host Patricia Traina. We talk all Big Blue next. Don't go anywhere.
In the car, streaming online, on our free smartphone app, or on your smart speaker. It's 101.3 The Game.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Another perfect pass by Aaron Wells. Right to me. I spoke at the right time, right at the right spot for the music, so I don't upset my prima donna wide receiver over here, Austin Danforth, who's looking for that.
Air drums.
Just doing it over here.
Questlove.
You love this. It's right up your alley. Look at you.
Yeah, this is the roots.
Hey, there's nothing better than talking about potential, right, in any kind of sport, like, you know, what a team could be. We've been talking about with the Patriots, and obviously, I have a firm belief, I really do, that the Giants are going to win the NFL. If we have a league, if we have a season, and that's what I'm going to hope for right now. That's what we're talking about. We're going to have a season. I think the Giants are going to win the NFC East. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. So I thought, well, who better to talk to than our good friend Giants Insider, who joins us now here on Sports Saturday in the TikTok Jewelers guest line, our good friend Patricia Traina. Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
It's been a long time. I hope you're happy and healthy and all good in the Big Apple.
Well, thanks. I'm healthy. I'm happy to say that. But I'll be even happier if somehow they figure out how we're going to have a football season so we can see what this new Giants team looks like.
Yeah, well, let's get into all of that, but I think we have to start with some of the craziness here. But in the kicker, Aldrick Rosas, just a bad weekend for him last weekend, huh?
Yeah,
tragic.
Very, very disappointing, but you know what? Everybody, you know, I get it. Everybody's ready to move on and hang the kid, but I think on a deeper level, you have to look at the human element here and ask yourself, why was he allegedly drinking at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning or before the, you know, the accident, I think, happened at 8:25 in the morning. Who really, you know, engages in a cocktail or two, you know, that early in the morning? So it just sounds like there's something, I don't know, maybe deeper going on if these allegations are true. And you wonder, you know, how the kid is, and, you know, it sounds like he needs help. And I think you have to look at that aspect from a human perspective, as opposed to just being so quick to say, oh, let's get rid of him.
No, no, I totally agree, and you got to get the whole story before you make a decision anyway. But so let's talk about this team, Patricia. I mean, I think there's a lot to like. I mean, I'm not sitting here and saying they're a Super Bowl contender, but you know, I think the offensive line is obviously improved. I think they have weapons on offense. I think the defense looks like it's improved as well. You might think I'm crazy too, but I think Daniel Jones last year was the best quarterback in the NFC East. I mean, I think if you put Daniel Jones and his skill sets on the Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys last year, they win 12 games. I really believe that. I mean, how is it is it craziness for me to think the Giants could win this NFC East?
You know what? I don't think at this point you can say it's crazy because there are a lot of questions. But, you know, I just think that there's so many things that we don't have answers to. You know, we don't know what the offense is going to look like exactly. We can kind of piece it together and we can figure it out, but we don't know for sure. We don't know how that defense is going to look. I mean, I think we could probably say that it's probably reasonably to expect that the Giants offense will score and they'll be a little bit better. But my big concern is, you know, will that defense be able to hold opponents from scoring and topping what the offense does?
So in Jeff's, you know, the thing he's trying to speak into existence this fall, with a world in which the Giants can win the NFC East, is that defense the bigger hurdle, or is it something else? You know, I mean, I guess I'm asking, do you think they have what it takes to do it, or is it more like one of the other teams you just see is like prohibitively at this point probably better suited to be able to pull that off?
I mean, look, I get it. You know, we want something to cling to, and I would love for them to win the NFC East. But to my mind, there are just too many questions on that defensive side of the ball. We have been hearing for, what, 3-4 years now, oh, we're going to generate a pass rush through the scheme. Have we seen it? No. And then what happens? Go back and look at how many times the Giants defense has blown a lead team by not being able to defend. It's happened way too many times. And, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's Eli playing good football or if it's Daniel Jones. You need the defense to make the stop. You need to keep the other, you know, the offense from the other side off the field. And they haven't been able to do that. So to me, that is the biggest question mark. And now you have Patrick Graham coming in, who I've heard is a good coach, but, you know, look at what he had down in Miami. I think in some categories, their defense was worse than the Giants last year. Now, part of that was because they were getting rid of guys left and right. They had some injuries, but just a lot of uncertainty regarding that defense. And then you throw in the DeAndre Baker situation. You throw in, okay, are they going to have a pass rush? Are they finally going to get Leonard Williams on court to where he starts living up to his potential? Just a lot of uncertainty, I think, on that defense to where I would stop short of saying that maybe the Giants are going to win the NFC East. I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year, but I don't know that I would quite put them in the NFC East title this year.
Patricia, give us an idea about Joe Judge. I mean, I think he checks all the boxes in terms of what, you know, you're looking for in a head coach in terms of what he said, and it looks like he's a great preparer, and you know, hear what Saban said about him, and you hear what Belichick said about him, but give us an idea what the Giant fans can expect from the new head coach.
Well, I like him. I had a chance to speak with him one-on-one this past week, and we talked about a variety of different things. I think he has vision as to what he wants to accomplish and how he wants to get there. You know, a lot of coaches, when you hear them in their opening press conference or introductory press conference, they give you the usual spiel, you know, oh, we're going to win, we're going to enforce culture, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then they kind of make it up as they go along. And sometimes it doesn't come to fruition. I think Judge has a plan how to get there. I think he's organized. I don't know necessarily if everything, you know, of the plan that I picked up, I don't know if all that's going to result or get him the results he's looking for, but I like that he, you know, I like his attitude. He a lot of people think, oh, he's Belichick Jr. I don't see that in him. I see somebody who's a little bit more personable. I see someone who is very protective of the franchise and players and the coaches. and a guy who just kind of wants to do the right thing at the end of the day and, you know, also to an extent cooperate with other people, you know, represent the fans, cooperate with the media. So I just see a guy who, for a rookie head coach, so far he's said all the right things, he's doing all the right things, but at the end of the day, we'll see if it translates into wins, which is the big thing that we need to measure a coach by.
Patricia, you've been around the Giants for a long time and the NFL for a long time. How important is the head coach to an NFL organization?
Very important. Very important. I've said this many times. The difference between a team that wins four games and a team that maybe wins nine games is the coaching. And it all starts with the head coach. And, you know, you go back and you look at last year with Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur, good man. I have nothing but good things to say about Pat Shurmur. But in putting together the program that he did, the assistant coaches and the structure and just everything, it really, you know, that team, I look at that team last year, and they should have won way more games than the four they won. And it was very disappointing. So I do think a head coach, you know, because it all starts with a head coach. You got to have somebody in there who has an idea of what he's doing, who has a plan, who believes in the plan, and who's realistic about the expectations and the results that come from the plan. And, you know, I can't honestly say that I think Pat Shurmur was like that last year. Now, with Joe Judge so far, I think he is realistic. I think he, you know, has a plan. But again, time will tell, because all it takes is for some, you know, monkey wrench to be thrown into the mix, and now everything's out the window.
Going off of what Jeff was just saying and what you were explaining about what you've seen with the importance of head coaching, where is their role most felt? Is it like the more tangible pieces like game management or X's and O's or the way they structure practices, or is it how they build their staff and delegate to that staff and the people that report to them that they then influence?
Well, I've always equated it to a CEO type of situation. You know, you have an organization and you have your directors and then you have your vice presidents and then you have your CEOs, and it just creates like a org chart, if you will. And I just think, you know, when you have a CEO style head coach, which is what Joe Judge is, now you can dip your hand into everything. You're not locked into, say, for example, special teams or offense. And I think that was a mistake of, you know, that Shurmur made. I think that was a mistake that Ben McAdoo made. You know, you have to have your hand in every facet of the operation. And I see Joe Judge as being that type of guy. You know, it's interesting because when we had him on a conference call last month, he talked about, you know, the offense, he talked about the defense, and I said to him, well, what about special teams? Since that's your area of expertise, you know, how involved are you going to be? And he basically said, look, I'm going to be involved in every facet of the game, but Tom McGahee, the special teams coordinator, he's going to run special teams. I'm not going to take it over and, you know, yeah, I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, he basically inferred that he's not going to take it over and micromanage Tom McGahee, even though special teams is his area of expertise. So that's the type of coach I think typically does pretty well. Now, there are exceptions. You know, you look at Andy Reid down in Kansas City. He calls his own plays, if I'm not mistaken, and he's been very successful. But for the most part, the coaches that tend to have success on a consistent basis are more of the CEO-style coaches.
We are talking to Big Blue insider Patricia Traina here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Patricia, I think it's been pretty interesting. The experts out there that laughed at the Daniel Jones signing or draft pick a couple years ago have come out now and have kind of had to say they made some mistakes here. I mean, do you think that Daniel Jones is turning a corner here in the public opinion world in the NFL?
I think so. I think the more you see and you hear from him, the more there is to like. I mean, quite frankly, I understand why some people were flabbergasted with that pick. You know, nobody expected Daniel Jones to go at number six.
I know, Patricia, but nobody's been laughed at like the Giants were laughed at. I mean, some of these guys, you know, you watch the coverage during the draft, and there were people falling out of their chairs laughing, mocking this kid, mocking Gettleman and the organization for this decision.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but given how the Giants have progressed, or I should say how they've slid downhill, people are going to be more critical. So, you know, it didn't surprise me, but to your question about, you know, am I surprised that people are turning around? Sometimes you got to give these guys a chance, you know, and I think a lot of people figured, oh, here we go. Here's Dave Gettleman being dopey and, you know, trying to be smart and outsmart the rest of the league with something, you know, they don't know. I don't know that necessarily that was the case. I think, you know, they needed a quarterback. They wanted to wait, you know, and we all know how the year before he was absolutely in love with Saquon. He might as well have taken a billboard out in Times Square to advertise he was going to take Saquon at number two, which, you know, basically put him out of the running for any of those other quarterbacks. But he wasn't going to make that same mistake twice. And I think given, you know, what Daniel has done, you know, he's been, actually, if you think about it, you look at Phil Simms' rookie year, you look at Eli Manning's rookie year, Daniel Jones has had, you know, the best production out of those three.
He had a huge year.
You can go back and you can look at some of the other guys. So, yeah, I do think people are starting to change their opinion that maybe that was a good pick after all.
Patricia, we appreciate the time as always. Stay safe down there, and we'll do this again down the road.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, thanks so much. I mean, it's amazing that Daniel Jones, even with Patricia, who I love, is like, yeah, you know, he had a pretty good year. It's like, he should have been Rookie of the Year.
Well, Colin Cowherd said this week that if Joe Burrow's had the same numbers this upcoming year, he would automatically be Rookie of the Year.
I mean, what that kid did last year on that football team, and I heard the Colin Cowherd sound, and I mean, we've been saying it for weeks when we talk about it, but what he did last year for the Giants with a team that didn't have Saquon most of the year, didn't have Sterling Shepard most of the year, didn't have Ingram most of the year, had a terrible offensive line, had a sieve for a defense. I mean, they were the bright spot on that offense was Daniel Jones, and then Slayton, the rookie from Auburn.
Yep.
I mean, he came out of nowhere. I mean, what this kid did numbers-wise was spectacular. And how many games? I mean, he probably should have won 8 games on his own. I mean, the defense blew a number of games for them. I mean, it's amazing. Even Patricia, who's a big, you know, she's in the middle of the Giants. It's like, yeah, you know, we'll see. I mean, to me, what the prognosticators and what these guys that do this for a living did when they picked him was so ridiculous and so over the top. I mean, and you know, you got to eat some crow now because this kid's going to be legit. If he stays healthy, he's got to stay healthy.
It is, in my opinion, a good sign when the worst thing you can say about a quarterback is that they need to work on not fumbling. Because the other critiques are usually no arm strength, no field vision, no poise in general. Like,
and if you make the throws.
And Lamar, like, and I know we have to take a break because we got Hot or Not coming, but in Lamar Jackson the year before last, I think, led the league in fumbles. So, you know, and obviously he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league last year. So there's no question that's in the, you can, I mean, Tiki Barber had a trouble fumbling until Tom Coughlin got there, and he became an elite running back.
Exactly.
So you can fix that. I'm telling you right now. I'm just going to say it again. The New York Giants are going to win the NFC East, baby. I'm just telling you. Just write it down.
Speak it into existence.
That's what I do. It's like George Costanza, right? It's not a lie if you believe it. That was what he used to say. We'll be right back.
You better crank up that AC because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
By the way, speaking of heat, like, I'm loving this week, man.
Was it
last week that it was 50 degrees on Saturday? Was it last week?
Yeah.
So it was either the week before, and you were saying it's okay to have this one of these days in here. It's like, no, it's not. Now I'm loving this. It is. And did anybody happen to look in the sky like last night around 8:30? How amazing that the sunset was here. It was like, I don't know if anybody saw, but it looked like there was like it was raining in the middle of this cloud and you could see it. It was amazing. I'll also show you the video. If anyone saw the skies, and I know a lot of people posted it on social media, I saw, like, if you were on the lake last night, the view must have been unbelievable.
Cool.
All right. When this starts playing, the 21-year-old starts talking. What do we got today, buddy?
All right, this is Hot or Not, and it is brought to you by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center for the best cupcakes around. They're open for curbside pickup, and they have available flavors posted on their Facebook and Instagram pages daily. Call them today at 802-871-5941 and place your order for contact-free pickup.
And now they even have some doggy cupcakes. So if you got a dog, and they don't have them every single day, but when they have them, they go fast. But they make these dog-friendly cupcakes. They got the biscuit on top, dog-friendly frosting.
Cool.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. My dogs love them. Love them. So you get to take care of the dog and take care of yourself. You know what I mean? It's perfect. Perfect combination.
So Jamal Adams, the safety from the Jets, says he wants new contract, which I think is fair. He's probably the best strong safety in the league. Somewhere in the ballpark of $20 million a year, and I'm not so sure the Jets can swing it. So if the Jets lose the best safety in the league, Jamal Adams, the Bills will run away with the AFC East, hot or not.
I'm going to say not, only because I think the Patriots are going to win the AFC East, I'm sorry. And until that doesn't happen, I'm not going to believe it. So, no, I mean, I think the Bills will be in good. I mean, the Bills are going to be a great team this year. I think it'll be, they're going to be competitive for it, but I think the Pats are going to win it.
And I don't think, what? Yeah.
And is it so Jets to have this happen to them?
Right. Like, it, I don't think Jamal Adams is the fulcrum on which the balance of power exists in the AFC East. So, I don't think his presence would negate the fact that the Patriots would win, you know, over the Bills. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, but isn't it amazing that, you know, the Jets are, I mean, you feel like the Jets are kind of improving. You feel like that their trajectory is going in the right direction. I mean, you have to if you're a Jets fan. And then all of a sudden your best player.
And you can laugh if you're anybody else.
Yeah, you know, and then your best player is, you know, he wants to leave. It's like, you know, we're just starting to get good, except your uniforms. The Jets have to change those uniforms. They got to get rid of those. Those are just some. The New York across the chest has got to go. You got to go back.
Do you like the color change, though?
I like the bright colors. I'd like them to go back to the Ken O'Brien Jets uniforms. Those were good uniforms back in the day. Like the Freeman McNeil.
Okay.
And Al Toon, the Al Toon Jets. Okay. You need to have those uniforms back, Jet fans.
All right.
So the other day what league is this?
This is La Liga. It's Spain.
In La Liga, Ray Hudson had a call on a Karim, oh God.
Karim Benzema.
Thank you.
The striker for Real Madrid.
I'm bad at soccer, guys. I'm sorry. Anyway, this soccer call, hot or not, this goal call.
By the way, this game is gone. Asensio again. Back for Benzema. On the surprise! And a tip of the cap!
I love the guy next to him. I love the color commentary.
Absolutely created in the heavens here. This is stupefyingly magnificent football. You'll not see a better goal. You'll not see a better team goal all year long. This is phenomenal. When we look at this, it's stardust sprinkle on every pass. You cannot overstate this. This is beautiful tackle by Casemiro. That tackle could dehorn a caribou, then Tony, absolutely magisterial pass. Asensio, first time, Big Ben's. Absolutely as sharp as vinegar and as cool as a greyhound's nose with his finish. He decorates the net with a dozen roses.
Let me just say first, that's hot. I'm all over that. But number two, what a talent he is to be able to come up with those analogies on the fly like
so
that.
So he's famous for covering La Liga, and he there's a soundboard that exists on, you know, the internet of like just his zaniest phrases and stuff. And he, like, the way he describes Lionel Messi goals is just, it's chef's kiss.
Well, you know, you always wonder, like, if these guys practice this. You know, it's like, I always use, I mean, Michael Kay, whether you like him or not, but his call on Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit was history with an exclamation point, because it's a home run.
Right.
So you're not preparing for Derek Jeter to have his 3,000th as a home run, but in the moment, he comes up with that.
I think most guys don't. I think we know John Sterling like workshops his calls.
Yes, he does.
So like, you know, when, you know, the text message for you're on the mark to share it, like all those. So some do, but I think most don't. I think it's just a free flowing, like you can't create, like you can't plan for those cries of ecstasy that he
but to come up with that analogy, like, you know, the sharp as vinegar and cool as a greyhound's nose. I mean, that tackle could dehorn a caribou. I mean, where do you come up with that?
Tackle was really good, though. Like, that's,
I gotta have to use that with my soccer season with my kids.
They'll be like, what is Jeff
what is
doing?
He talking about?
So we talked about, or more specifically, George Cuomo talked about how there was a risk of us losing baseball if they can't figure these things out down the road.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, can we be more definite on that? If baseball cannot figure out this labor dispute during this trying time, it will kill the sport, hot or not?
If kill, absolutely no, but kill, you know, maim badly, yes. Like, it won't come out of this as good as it went into it. There's no way around that. And if that starts a decline for the sport that may have already been happening, but much slower, then yeah, it might be the thing that starts the snowball down the hill that turns into an avalanche. Like, you can't say it won't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say not, only because I think that everybody is emotional right now, and I think we're looking at a snapshot of time, and our emotions are telling us, yes, we're done, I'm out, I don't want to watch anymore. But if the game comes back and, you know, it's exciting and your team's winning and you start following it again, I think it's in. I think if you're a fan of something, it's in your blood, Austin. I really do. You know, so even when, you know, like if you're a big golf fan, but if your favorite golfer retires, you know, and it's not as exciting for you, you're still going to go back to it because it's in your blood. It's what you want to do. But I totally agree with the fact that it might take some time to get it back. You know, you might have to take a couple years to get the bad taste out of your mouth of what's happened here with baseball and in the press they're getting. But eventually it's baseball. It'll come back.
I agree. The only exception is if this causes a labor strike in 2022 and there's animosity in between and there's animosity afterwards,
yeah, no
and
question.
It turns into a decade of the fighting between the two sides being a bigger thing than the sport, that will definitely be a bigger problem.
But like, I think it's a very real thing that they could lose, you know, 2 or 3% of their fans just like straight up not coming back. I've had enough baseball. Yep. This is ridiculous.
Very, very well could happen.
And like, once you start shutting yourself out to a section of the market, that it's only going to get bigger.
And like we said, I mean, you know, we're in unprecedented times. Baseball can't look back and then say, oh, this is how we dealt with it last time. That's not how it works.
Right.
You know, I mean, this could be, you're very well, your point could be right. I mean, it could be over for baseball. We don't know that.
All right. We will have a football season, hot or not.
I'm going to say hot. I mean, I think we're going to. I mean, I do. I mean, I just have this belief system that by the time we get there, that we'll figure out a way to do it, and I think we're going to have one.
I think they will, too. I think there, particularly with football, there is too much money at stake to not make it happen in some fashion. I think it's going to happen. I don't think people will be there to watch in the stands, but I think it will happen.
It's expensive to pay for the testing that would be required to make that sport safe, but you can pay for that and more by honoring those TV contracts. I think it absolutely happens. The NFL will find a way that there's a lot of cash coming in when you air a game on ESPN primetime Mondays. Like, it's
a lot of money.
And
ESPN pays them $1 billion a year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to play. I mean, I just think there's going to be a lot of noise from now till then. You know, you've got like we talk about. I mean, we're living this world right now where it's like you're debating it every day. You know what I mean? That's what we're talking about. We're not going to play. You're not taking it serious enough. We're taking it serious enough. We're too serious. That's the world we live. That's the game we play right now. I think eventually they'll figure it out. They'll get it right. It's, you know, COVID-19's here right now. I mean, it's part of our lifestyle right now. You got to deal with that. And it's unfortunate. It's tragic. But I think the powers that be will get it done. And I think they'll play. I agree.
If the MLB plays this year and the agreement they come to keeps the clause about the universal DH, it will be the end of pitchers hitting in the NL.
I hope so. I'm hot on that. I think it would
absolutely
be great.
Absolutely. Scalding hot.
I mean, think about the players you would have never... David Ortiz would never have been Big Poppy without the DH. You know what I mean? It just extends players' ability to play. So, you know...
Brady's guy, Edgar Martinez.
Yeah, that's a perfect example right there. Edgar Martinez, maybe the greatest DH of all time, would have never heard of him. You know, so it extends superstars to play. I think it's great for the game. And truth be told, that's one rule in baseball that I'm glad they're switching. Someone's going to call me a hypocrite because I'm such a baseball purist. But yeah, I think that's a great move. It'll be great for National League teams. And at the end of the game with interleague play, American League teams, when they go to National League ballparks, Austin, that's a big disadvantage for them.
Absolutely.
It's huge. Your team is not built around your pitch you're pitching.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I think it'll be great.
It's better for the players. It's a better product. It seems like the owners are on board because they agreed to it in the original March agreement. So yeah, I would say if that clause sticks around, which I would guess it will, that'll be the end.
You said the players agreed to it, right? I can't imagine the players not wanting universal DH.
In March, both sides agreed to the players, DH clause.
That's how you're going to extend your career. I mean, if you're a great hitter. So, yeah, I can't imagine. But it'll change a lot of ways the way some players think about where they're going to go play. Like, you know, you think about that now, you know, instead of these older guys that can hit, making sure they're coming to the American League, you're going to find players are going to stay in the National League. They're going to play for National League ball teams than they are in the AL.
I mean, universal DH might have changed whether or not we would have kept around JD Martinez, because that was a big thing, was he didn't have the choice to go to a lot of NL teams because they just didn't.
Half the league isn't open to you. So
exactly. Yep. I mean, you're going to see something. But which I think for the parity of baseball and the teams, I think that's good.
Yep.
I mean, you're looking for parity in baseball, right? Right now, we're top heavy in baseball. You allow players to stay in the National League where they want to stay. And JD Martinez is a good example. He loved it in Arizona. I think he wanted to be in Arizona before he came to Boston. You know, I think you're going to find guys staying around and you're going to see more parity.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's hot or not.
All right, that's hot or not. We come back in a moment. We tie a bow on this show. Don't go anywhere.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
So I thought the Brass Monkey song was gone, and then last week Brady found it. I thought you said you lost this song.
I found it later that week.
Okay, I may have thrown you under the bus in front of everybody because he said I heard that you don't have that Brass Monkey song anymore. I said no, I know Aaron lost it. He said it's no longer there, and then he hits a button, and then there it is.
Yeah, no, I deserve to be thrown under the bus. I'm an idiot. If I had just looked in the right place, I would have found it. But yeah, so it's back.
So it's back. Good. Hey, the Green City Garage poll question today. Green City Garage located at 49B Commerce Ave, South Burlington. Phone number 802-651-9299. Give my buddy Chris Wallace a call. Tell him Sports Saturday sent you. The poll question today, you could have gone to 101.3 The Game at Twitter. The question today was, what was your reaction to seeing Brady in a Bucks uniform this week with the pictures came out with he and Gronk? A, devastated, B, excited, or C, no feeling. Aaron, what were the results?
This one's surprising to me. 66% said no feeling.
No Patriots fans got on there. I can't imagine a Patriot fan seeing that and not being like sick to their stomach. I just can't imagine.
I know. And then 22% said they were excited. In the bottom was devastated.
Yeah, more non-Patriot fans. No, more non-Patriot fans there. Yeah, people just are loving the Patriot demise, right? They're just hungry for that Patriot
demise.
Maybe
the Patriots fans were just too hurt to even click on the poll.
They might be. But I got to tell you, it's going to be an exciting time in Tampa Bay, man. That place is going to be hopping. You got a personality like Gronk down there, and obviously now with Tom Brady, that's going to be really, really cool. Hey, guys, thanks so much for listening. We are Sports Saturday. We're here every Saturday from 10 to noon. We're the other local sports show on the station. You can keep it here the rest of the day, because after we get off, you've got the huddle the rest of the time, but you're on the air with us. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But I do want to say before I go, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. You don't have any idea what you mean to your sons and your daughters. And even if you're an uncle or you're making an impact in somebody's lives, Father's Day is very important to my father, Butch Paul. You are the man. You're my role model. I love you so much. I don't know where I'd be today without you. So thank you for being you, and happy Father's Day to everybody. Guys, enjoy your weekend. It's going to be a beautiful one. It's going to be hot. It's going to be a nice hot weekend. I'm going to play golf this afternoon. What are you doing?
I'm looking for cars after this with my dad, actually. Shout out.
Oh, very cool.
Paul Wells.
Very, very cool.
Really appreciate you, man. Couldn't ask for a better dad. But we're out looking for a car, trying to see if we can find something, because mine's not inspectable at the end of the month. So
got to get a new one. You got to see Bernie. You got to go see Bernie Siplicki.
I know.
He's getting it done. You got to go check him out. It's always tough looking for cars, too. I remember those days looking for cars. It's tough because you got to find the right one. You don't want to spend too much money. And cars, as soon as you drive them off the lot anyway, you know, they lose all their what their costs anyway. So you want to get yourself a nice car, be safe. But yeah, it's supposed to be a warm weekend, you guys. Enjoy it. Really enjoy the summertime. It doesn't, you know, it's a short season. Make sure you wear your sunblock. Drink a lot of water. Enjoy your weekend. We will be back next week. Happy Father's Day to everybody. And hey, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.